Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and we hope you are enjoying your Memorial Day weekend, whether you're listening live on Sunday night, relaxing because you maybe get a day off tomorrow. Not everybody does. We get that. And if you...
What am I, a banker?
Yeah. Or somebody that works in law enforcement or hospitals, right?
And we've discussed this before, but you are a family barbecue family.
Oh, yes, we are. Every Memorial Day. Well, for one thing, it's my daughter's 9th birthday this week on May 29th. Carly turns 9. So we have 3 days to celebrate. So Memorial Day weekend, yes, we always have a birthday barbecue, no matter what.
So does she equate a 3-day weekend with her birthday all the time?
Yes, she does. In fact, since her birthday doesn't land on the holiday this year, she's excited that she actually gets to go to school and bring treats to school. Oh. So, I mean, that's kind of the cool thing for her.
And what do we bring?
She wants to bring donuts. And not the little ones, Mom. She wants to bring the full-size donuts.
I don't know why
her.
That makes me laugh more than cupcakes or something else.
8 and 9-year-old children. Well, because, I mean, it's the end of the year, so she's seen it all, right? She's seen the really cute cookies. She's seen the cupcakes.
That's right. She wants to bring something different.
She wants the big old fat hearty donuts.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about it because we were exhausted last week from old-fashioned fun and games.
Which was so fun.
And there were games.
There were games.
That's why we call it fun and games. But she won the big potato sack race.
She killed it.
She did.
I don't think I sent you the video. Did I send you photos?
No.
But, so my 9-year-olds look just a tad athletic. Like just a tad. And then extremely competitive. I mean, she was like...
She's going to be a stunt person.
Body lengths ahead of the second place person, right?
Like, yeah, that was probably the least closest race of the weekend.
When I was looking at all the pictures too, and everyone's smiling, right? She's not smiling.
Oh,
she wasn't smiling at any.
Fierce
she was
determination.
Ready. And she's like staring at Mac, just staring at him.
Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Yeah. I was amused though. At some point I had to send her to we have an employee named Carly.
Oh.
And she was very excited when I said, well, go talk to that person over there. Her name is Carly. And she just got a big grin on her face. She was very excited that there's another Carly, even though they spell it differently.
Sure.
I didn't point that out to her.
She understands. Yeah.
So
yeah, it was a fun. It was definitely a fun event. And you had tons of kids both days.
It was packed. It was a good weekend.
Yeah.
A little cool, a little windy, but it was very nice.
And the kids like to try everything.
And speaking of the grounds, I have to give a quick shout out to the Flavel House Garden Society. The grounds just look so fantastic.
They are beautiful.
They really do.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, actually, yes. Sometimes we don't introduce our guests. We make them say a few words. And I was about to say, you are a docent in the Flavel House, and we grabbed you as soon as you retired from a long-term job that a lot of people probably saw you or interacted with you in some fashion over the years. So just give us a little bit without naming where you worked or your name yet.
A little bit of what I've
a
done?
A little bit more.
Yeah, just a so.
Well, I'm a Civil War reenactor.
That's right.
My favorite thing for Memorial Day is to go to Fort Stephens Cemetery for the ceremony that they do out there. I go there every year. And I'm a docent at the Flavel House. When I retired, I was planning to work somewhere as a volunteer and couldn't decide. And Mac called me first.
Oh,
so how I decided.
I grabbed you really fast. Was it before you retired or was it like a week after you retired?
It was within that month you called. I mean, it was right away. So it didn't give me time to think about where else I wanted to go.
Fantastic. Good
so
job.
If you don't recognize the voice. You've never done anything building wise in the city of Astoria
or Easter Bunny
or Monster Bash, which we may talk about. Right. Rosemary Johnson that worked as city planner for at least 93 years or
felt like it.
And still counting.
Yeah. And still counting.
And technically, they still bring you in. You're the institutional memory.
Right. I'm still a contract planner with them. And so I work from home mostly, but I do go in once in a while to work with them on different things. So I help with reports and training and research and special projects.
That's so nice. What a nice benefit.
Yes. So gives me play money.
Yes.
And that's why I recruited her so fast, because I know she knew everything about, right. I mean, there's John Gutenberger, there's Lisa Penner, and there's Rosemary Johnson.
Well, and even today, she did say that she sort of squeezed us in. I mean, we're on a timeline, which we are always on a timeline, so it worked out well. But
she's going to get on the road here, yes. So we should stop gabbing and get on with the big show.
I have a word.
You have a word.
I do. It's an old word, historic word. Quaintrell.
Oh, I'm not going to like this.
It's a noun.
It's a noun.
Person, place, or thing. Quaintrell.
Spell it, please.
Quaintrelle.
A Quaintrell. I think it's somebody that takes the wrong path and gets lost.
Nope.
I'm going to say that it has something to do with architecture.
Ooh, that's interesting, but also no. It's someone who lives a life full of passion, leisure, and enjoyment.
Ooh, I wish I was a Quaintrell.
This was perfect because I thought that, we have Rosemary here, and she is continuing to follow her passion and is living her life of leisure and enjoyment.
Oh, yes.
See, I would almost bet, though, I have a person, very wise person, that a little bit of a mentor, and when I was having some personnel issues, they listened to me complain about the personnel issues, and they just nodded politely at the end. They said, "Are you done complaining?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess." And they poked me really hard, and they said, "This is the 5% of your job you actually get paid for."
Oh.
And they said, "The rest of all that stuff you do, the radio show, the lectures, the talking tombstones, the exhibits, you do all that for free if you didn't have a mortgage."
Yeah,
right.
True. And it was very true. I thought, you're right. Most of my job I would do for free. And I think a lot of what you've done in your life, you would do for free.
I still am in some times, yes. Yeah, I love what I do, and the pay is nice to give me play money. But yeah, I enjoyed my job. Like you said, there was those few things that you felt like that's what you were being paid for.
That's good.
Yeah. And what charmed lives we lead. So what's the word again?
Quaintrell.
Quaintrell.
A person who lives a life full of passion, leisure, and enjoyment.
See, I don't know about the leisure, but. Certainly, yeah. Although you're traveling all the time, so
yeah.
All right, so let's get through the quick the history highlights. I don't have many. These are things that happen tomorrow, May 27th. So as always, bar trivia, final answers on Jeopardy, or just icebreakers
at your barbecue.
At your barbecue, so you can sound really smart. 1703, St. Petersburg is founded by Peter the Great. And I'm always amazed that somebody would name their kid Peter the Great. They didn't. I'm just making that up because I'm silly. 1887, Chinese gold miners are slaughtered in the Hell's Canyon Massacre. Mm. We have not been kind to our immigrants.
Correct.
1907, the bubonic plague breaks out in San Francisco. Mm. And it's a little misleading because it had already broken out about 1900, I think. But 1907, what's different is they kind of know that it's fleas on rats.
Oh,
and they start really kind of investigating. They find out that the sewer rats aren't quite as bad as the rats that are hanging out in like horse manure and stables. And I assume it's kind of the water is washing them. Well, water and other liquid items are washing the fleas off of them. But they kind of know how to deal with it this time around.
Okay.
So I don't really know why that made the history highlights
it's
here.
Lovely.
Instead of 1900. 1930, Richard Drew invents masking tape. How do we feel about masking tape? Do we like masking tape?
I don't know. It's not great. I mean, it doesn't work very well, does it?
I have no opinion.
Like, what do you use? Like, painting. Small sheets of paper?
Painting.
Oh, when you're painting. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Yeah. But now we call that painter's tape.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, because it doesn't stick as well.
That's right.
1937, the Golden Gate Bridge opens.
It's nice.
Have we ever been across it?
Of course.
Many times.
Of course.
Walked it. And
have you really walked it?
I have been biking across it several times.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm a little jealous. All right. Yeah. You two lead the much more adventuresome lives than I do. 1939, a boat carrying 937 Jewish refugees fleeing Nazi Germany is turned away from Cuba.
Yeah.
And then the U.S. and Canada also refuse entry. It was the SS St. Louis, and it finally landed in Belgium. And of those 937, at least 254 actually died in the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah.
Because once again, we're not very nice to immigrants.
It's just tragic. Yeah, I saw that one and I was surprised. I mean, the headline is really blaming Cuba, but then two other much, much larger countries.
Across the globe.
Right. I mean, we're talking about like a state saying no. than two countries. Yeah.
But then that continued into the Exodus.
Yes.
Yeah. And 39, I mean, okay, we might not have known about concentration camps, but we knew really bad things were happening. Yep.
Especially on the East Coast, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. 1941, the British Navy sinks the German battleship, the Bismarck.
We find the German battleship, it's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck, cause the world depends on us.
Good.
And they have found the Bismarck.
I know, it's exciting.
Robert Ballard.
And I thought maybe like one of us would start singing the Sink the Bismarck song. I don't know. I knew Alana wouldn't.
No.
Johnny Horton. Johnny Horton, yes. All right. 1943, U.S. Olympian Louis Zamperini's plane goes down in the Pacific, and they made a movie and a really good book, Unbroken.
Right. Oh.
The guy was an Olympic track star, and he's on a plane, and they're just on a rescue mission. They were looking for another lost plane when they didn't come back. And then just the brutality as he was in one POW camp after another, the Japanese were really, really mean. And one guy in particular.
Yeah. It was a great movie. Angelina Jolie directed that one.
Oh. I did not realize that. Yeah. Okay. Because it's not an Oregon film, so I don't care. it's terrible that I now have that difference of the movie could be great, but it's not as great as it could have been if it was made in Oregon. All right. 1971, John Lennon records the song Imagine.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then 1986, African-American inventor Lonnie Johnson patents the Super Soaker water gun.
I love this one. I had this one written down. I didn't know if you'd count it or not. So what I loved, I'm just going to interrupt you here, because what I loved about him is he actually created it in his own basement bathroom in 1982. And at the time, I mean, this is what's kind of cool. He was employed as a nuclear engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, working on the Galileo mission to Jupiter. And then he gets, so he's pretty cool guy, right? Like smart, doing amazing things. And he's known for creating the Super Soaker, which was sort of done on accident in his bathroom.
I love that even more. I was kind of hoping that somehow his research overlapped those two things.
It keeps going on. Years later, he was working on a bomber and he just continued to be this fantastic engineer. But yes, I'm sure his, call to fame though was the Super Soaker.
That's a crack up. All right, and then my history highlight of the day thing I think had the most impact. 1940, the British and Allied forces begin the evacuation of Dunkirk during World War II. So I think that had the most impact on history because 338,226 men were evacuated on 861 vessels.
Wow.
And if those guys had not made it out... And it's amazing because the British Army especially, they left all kinds of tanks, guns... behind, and they didn't really have enough. I think it was for only like two divisions left in England. So had the Nazis kept pushing, not only all the way, and they could have killed them all, but then even if they tried to cross the channel right away, they didn't have enough they were using old buses to transport people in England at that point. So,
and the evacuation, they had to use fishing vessels and small boats because the larger military boats couldn't get close enough into the shore to get the troops, and they were being bombed while they were trying to evacuate them.
Yeah,
and
the docks were gone.
The docks were pretty much gone. So it was John Q. Public who took their individual boats and went over to rescue them.
Yeah. Wow.
And also not an Oregon film, but Dunkirk, not a bad film. It was pretty entertaining. A little wacky with the storytelling, the out of time.
Yeah, they jumped around a lot. Yeah,
but it was still entertaining. So somebody else who is entertaining and can jump back and forth if we ask her to. It's a terrible segue. I always try to make a good segue, but there's nothing there. So Rosemary, we brought you in. You did mention already City Planner and Flavel House Docent and City Civil War Reenactor. But the reason we brought you in today... And you've been on the show before. You're now either a four-timer or a five-timer. I'm not sure. We have Goonies Day coming up.
We do.
June 7th.
We love it. Yeah.
The 39th anniversary of the Goonies. And you were working at the city when it was filmed.
Correct.
And you were involved in certain aspects that I think have a historical significance. And let's actually jump to that part first.
Okay.
But you... organized the very first
Monster Bash. Back when the Goonies was being filmed, they were here in October, Halloween month. And it was a time during the 80s when trick-or-treating was starting to get dangerous, and there were people wrapping mothballs in cellophane for candy, and not in this area, but it was nationwide. So a few of us said, you know, we need to have a safe alternative to that house-to-house trick-or-treating, dark at night, on the streets. Nobody can see your costumes. And so there were three or four of us at the city who started working on this and decided that downtown was always Halloween. All the merchants would dress up. It was, you know, Astoria was always did Halloween right. And so we thought, you know, why not have the kids go store to store downtown during the daylight where everybody could see their costumes. They could get to see all the merchants' costumes. They had safe streets and crosswalks. It was daylight. And they had the reputation of the store behind their candy they were getting. So we thought, you know, how do you change a cultural tradition like nighttime Halloween trick-or-treating? And it wasn't going to be an easy thing to do. So we had the brilliant idea that the Goonies was being filmed. Why don't we see if we could get the kids to show up for an autograph session? So I contacted the production company and asked if that would be possible. And they told me, if you can give me a written plan that shows that you can make your event work without the Goonies, we'll get them there.
Oh.
Now, all of this decision-making and discussion was 2 weeks before Halloween. So we quickly wrote up a plan to show the door-to-store trick-or-treating, then a parade that would take them from downtown and parade them over through the streets and over to YMCA building on 12th Street. And then there we would have a party, and the party would be totally free with games and prizes and popcorn and hot dogs and all kinds of good things, but everything would be free. It would keep them off the streets at night. So I did this written plan, gave it to the production company, and they came back and said, yes, we'll get the Goonie kids there. This is their very first autograph session.
Oh my gosh.
So Sean Astin,
Josh Brolin, Corey Feldman, all of those, I organized their very first autograph session. I love that.
Yeah.
So we got contacting the stores and the merchants to try to get donations. And you know how you have cake walks? Well, we had a pie walk. And the prizes were not just your little 2 cent, you know, trinkets that you get at most parties now. I mean, we had big games and dolls and all kinds of neat things. So we got the kids to go trick-or-treating. Then they showed up the YMCA. And here comes the Goonies. They had dressed up for Halloween. Josh Brolin came with theatrical makeup to look like he had been in a car wreck. Carrie came in kind of a punk rock look. Chunk came as a bride.
Jeff Cohen.
He was great. And so all of them were dressed up and having a good time. And we had them set out at tables, and we had pens and paper there. We had 2,000 people come to the YMCA that night. Now, you got to remember, Astoria is only 10,000 people. So that's 1/5 of our population. But they were coming from all over. They came across the river from Washington, and they were coming up from Warrington and Seaside because of the Goonies.
Yeah.
So we were able to get them there. And the kids were so inundated with signing the autographs that they brought in a couple of the adult stars to help and sign autographs. Well, here, I wanted my autographs, and I'm standing there in front of the table with a bullhorn trying to keep people in line and back because the crowd was so big. And of course, that brought so many people in, we overloaded the YMCA. So Hughes Ransom Mortuary agreed to open up their parking lot so we could overflow into their parking lot for the party.
Oh my God.
Halloween.
In a mortuary.
In a mortuary park.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good community.
And
too.
So we were able to get this Monster Bash kickstarted that year and continued it and clear up until I think the year before COVID. It took a little bit for people to organize it. And it always I laugh the fact that, oh, so much work and everything. And here we got, within 2 weeks, initiated the program, got all the prizes, got the Goonies kids there, and had a parade with Dallas McKinnon of Disney fame. He was a Disney voice and character actor. He was our grand marshal. We had to get him a horse and buggy for the parade. All this in 2 weeks.
And where did he come from?
He was living in Cannon Beach at the time.
Okay.
So we had a really big party, and it continued, like I said, for about 30 years.
See, yo, I remember when I got here, Monster Bash was in the Armory. It was up at Star of the Sea.
Right. It moved around.
Yeah. And I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure the crowds were big, but I would have guessed when I got here, they were 400, 500 people. I can't imagine 2,000 at the YMCA.
The very first one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Who paid for it that first year? All the hot dogs and everything? Was it the city?
It was all donated.
Wow.
The city put in a little bit. We had a little bit for advertising, and we got most of the advertising free. The Lions and the Rotary and the local stores and Van Dusen Beverages, everybody was chipping in, and we didn't have to pay for hardly anything. So it was fabulous. And over the first few years, we kept the movie theme. And I don't remember which order, but 1 year, Short Circuit was being filmed. So we had Ally Sheedy autographs. Another year, Ninja Turtles. So we had the turtle autograph pictures we were giving away as prizes.
Corey Feldman back again.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And then the one big win was the year that Benji the Hunted was being filmed.
That's a good one.
And we got Benji's stand-in as one of the door prizes. Because in Benji the Hunted, they're out at Young's River, and Benji goes tumbling down the hillside, and they aren't going to do that to the real Benji.
Thank goodness.
So they had this stuffed dog that looked exactly like Benji.
And they gave it to you?
They gave it to us. So out there, somebody, if you've got a Benji look-alike dog that you've had for 30 years, you may have the Benji stand-in.
And we would desperately love to have that at the Oregon Film Museum.
The
first time I was chatting with her when I invited her to come on the show, and she told me, I thought stand-in, they actually gave away a dog? And I didn't think, and then I realized, the tumbling down the hill scene. Not a real dog. Yeah.
But somebody probably doesn't realize what they have because of the years that have gone by. But that was one of the big prizes that year. And the kid that got it was really excited. I should have kept their name, but I didn't.
So, Benji. I mean, these kids, you said it was really popular because, I mean, people knew the movie was going on, but these kids weren't that famous yet, were they?
No.
I mean,
no. What is a Goonies?
Right. Well, as far as fame, the biggest fame was the fact that Sean Astin's parents were John Astin and Patty Duke.
Okay.
And that was the big thing. Everybody was trying to find John Astin when he went someplace. He went to Complete Photographer and things like that. So people were looking for them. The kids weren't famous yet. Kiwan.
Yes.
Anyway, he had made Indiana Jones, but it hadn't been released yet. He wasn't famous for that yet.
Yeah, those were filmed
short round.
Yes. Right. Yes.
But your question was
that nobody knew what this film was.
Right. And
what's a Goonie?
So we knew the term Goonies was out. And so KAST had a cons test to draw a picture of what you thought the Goonie was. And they called it the Ouroboros. You drew a picture, and whoever won was going to get breakfast with the Goonies kids.
Okay.
And I did my submittal, but they
didn't win.
I think I might have been a little too old, but anyway, everybody was putting it in because nobody knew what a Goonie was. And we really didn't know until the movie actually came out.
Right.
And then we all felt silly, I bet.
Yeah, right.
I'm just amazed. We've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years the Ouroboros Challenge, and I thought it was original that we came up with it. Already had that 39 years ago.
From the beginning. And I have to tell you a more recent story. My son went to a Comic-Con, which is all the different shows and things, and Sean Astin was there, and he took him pictures from the Monster Bash of him and the other characters dressed up. And Sean said he had never seen those pictures and he loved them and told, he signed my son's autograph and stuff. But he was really excited, and he said that was one of the memories he has of filming that show was that Monster Bash. They all remember going to it.
Well, sure. I mean, how cool. And it's kids too, right?
They were kids. I mean,
versus like, kids. You know, yeah. Later in life, it's adults, you know, and adults aren't as cute or, you know, I mean, it's still exciting to be famous, but to be famous among kids and as a kid, right. That's pretty exciting.
And then to have a kid event to go to.
Right. So yeah. So how long were they? I mean, did they stay to the very end of the line to sign all the autographs?
They stayed there for a long time, almost to the end of the event, because they were troopers and just kept signing. And I got every autograph. Luckily, my family got them for me, except Josh Brolin.
Oh,
so Josh, if you're listening, I'd love to have your autograph.
Maybe we'll get him here for the 40th next year.
Ooh, there we go.
Although Thanos, do we really want Thanos here? Because he's the bad guy in Avengers. But hey, I do want to give a really quick commercial. You make a great point that there were lots of people that interacted, had signatures or photographs. We want that kind of stuff at the Film Museum. If you have behind-the-scenes photographs of the Goonies or anything, we would love to have even just a scanned copy. We don't need to keep the stuff, but we would love Benji the dog. Yeah. That would be great. So if you can, either talk about a little bit about just the filming and as a city employee, if you had any interrelations or any other films that were filmed here, any memories that you have of it?
Well, I was able to watch the filming of the Jailbreak. That was really great. I got to stand and watch Steven Spielberg direct that one. That was the only scene he directed here in Astoria. We weren't allowed to talk to him or get close, but it was so exciting to watch that, see how they did it. Ma Fratelli was out there. And then the chase scene was just around the Flavel house. It looks like it's all over town, but it's just up and down at different angles of that scene. So that was fun to watch that. And then to be part of some of the other films, such as Kindergarten Cop, we were in a car scene where you just drove down Commercial Street, but those were all planned cars driving by. So,
and you got paid for that.
Right? The cars driving by, we didn't, but some of the stand-ins did. Okay. Yeah.
How exciting.
Well, so any other good stories?
Oh, wow. That's probably some of my most
best ones,
you know, watching those and then interacting with the Goonie kids when they came back for the reunions and as adults. And Jeff Cohen is the most amicable person. He was so friendly, and I was able to go to breakfast with him once and a couple of dinners when he was here. And it was impressive. Not, you know, you think, oh, I know this person. I know someone special. But he remembered my name after the year. And I was just so impressed that he would remember somebody from town here that he only met a few times. You know, he was just one of those really nice people.
Yeah. He made the joke once when we were chatting with him on the phone about coming to one of the anniversaries. And he said, oh, someday I'm going to retire and move to Astoria and run for mayor because I think that's the only place in America that would vote for me. And we kind of laughed. We said, well, maybe.
Probably. You know,
actually.
Well, I have to. Yeah. My kids always laugh because I got a kiss from Joe Pantaleone.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Joey Pants. Yeah, he was supposed to be signing autographs at the Liberty, and he hadn't showed up, so they sent me out looking for him. I found him over at Video Horizons promoting his film, and so I drug him over, and he's telling me his whole life story, and we get over there and to the Liberty, and he finally gives me a kiss on the cheek.
I love that.
Good
well,
for you.
I knew we could just basically turn the mic on and let you talk
because
you've got so many great stories, and we need to bring you back because 20 minutes is not enough time. But thank you for all you've done. And thanks for sharing those stories. Those are great.
Thanks for having me. I love it here.
Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.